As I've said, sometime previously we had reached the point where Elijah, despite his lapse, he was recommissioned by God and also commanded to anoint this young man, Elisha, as his successor, which we did, as we've seen in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elisha responded to this call of God. He responded to God's call and called to follow Elijah. Elisha very decisively did so. He left his prosperous farming setup that he would have inherited. He sacrificed his personal yoke of oxen, which were probably his pride and joy. And there in verse 2 of that chapter, he arose and he went after Elijah and he ministered to him, we read. And that meant that Elisha was submitting to God's discipline. You see, he was to be Elijah's personal assistant, going round with him, serving him, learning from him as his disciple. And you know, for the rest of Elijah's story, we don't read any more about Elisha until this day, when Elijah was to go up to heaven. And as far as the Bible record goes, for Elisha there were no starring roles, no place of prominence to be gained, not even a mention in the dispatches. But all the time, discipleship, learning from the Master, humble service. Didn't Jesus say, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? Yes. Leave home, security, cherished possessions and ambitions. And for what? An indefinite period of low-key, unglamorous service. Perhaps working under somebody that was less gifted than yourself, but being willing to stick it until God gives you the job that He's fitting you to do. And even now, this morning, God's offering us the opportunity to follow Him in a new way, perhaps, which may involve further sacrifice, or just to follow Him by simply continuing faithfully to fulfill the responsibility He's already given us. And it may involve playing second fiddle to someone else while we're pretty sure that we could do it better than they can. But the great thing is that God continues to call us to follow Him by His grace and in His plan. And although Elisha's ministry isn't mentioned, we find that Elijah's work, or God's work through Elijah, continued to be remarkably effective, considering that he must now have been quite an old man. But perhaps it was because of Elisha's presence and support that Elijah was able to do so. There were no further lapses or breakdowns, no going AWOL, nor running away from Jezebel as he'd done before. Elijah had seemed to grow in courage and to face greater challenges, which again may have been due to Elisha's encouragement and faithful, selfless service. Read the rest of Elijah's story. Fantastic things that were accomplished. Maybe because of Elisha's presence. Think of how Paul coveted the presence of shy Timothy while burdened with the daily concern for the churches. Think of how the Lord Jesus ever sought the presence of James as well as John and Peter to be with him in his great trials and challenges. Even although James is never noted for any individual act until that great action of giving his life in martyrdom. Reliable, faithful, dependable disciples are what Christ covets for his work in the church. Those who simply depend on him and just get on with the job and stick at it, as has been the case with many in this fellowship. Which is why there are those in the mission field, there are those in leadership in different spheres of Christian service, and they're now active in other church fellowships. And many who have been and who are still being rescued by Christ and have the hope of glory through knowing Him as Saviour. A work which is of God, but it's effected through Elishas, those willing for humble service, which is never to be taken for granted, and which certainly isn't over, and which God intends to continue. Chapter 2 also shows us indirectly just how fruitful Elijah's ministry had been. God had been at work in a mighty way. Remember the beginning of Elijah's story, how Jezebel had slain the prophets of Yahweh and she'd imported 850 prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. And remember how it had to be God's undercover agent Obadiah who had preserved 100 of these prophets away in a cave, hiding them away. But see how transformed the scene is now in chapter 3. There are prophetic communities at Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho over which Elijah has, over which he has the sort of oversight. It doesn't say if they were Faith Mission or Cornhill or Beauty High, but it does tell us in chapter 6 that they were building New College. So there were these fruitful communities here and there. Schools of the prophets had been established, with many men being trained to proclaim God's word. Yeah, there were still many false prophets, which Ahab continued to trust in. But even they now wanted to be known as prophets of Yahweh, of Jehovah, and not of Baal. And so with Elijah and Elisha, God was training those who would truly be His mouthpiece. Just sung about how the Holy Spirit goes about His business in the church, yet to fulfill His purpose. He came to interpret and teach us effectively all that the Saviour had spoken and done, to glorify Jesus is all His activity, promise and gift of the Father and Son. You see how important is the week-by-week meeting together for worship and study and prayer. Yeah, the Sunday school, the 712 Club, family worship. And the world doesn't know that is important. But bit by bit, God re-establishes His work. He goes on building His church, restoring, renewing, laying foundations, and working out His purposes according to His plans and designs. And that's why we need to be here and to have part in His great ongoing work. But let's get now to the main story, the thrilling story of this chapter, and see why it's so vital. The most certain thing about each one of us is that we're going to die, unless of course the Lord comes. But we're going to die, we know that, every one of us that's living. And yet here's a man who was just like us, who did not die. He's one of two men in the Bible, in the whole Bible record, who was not to die. And somehow verse 1 tells us that God had let it be known to the prophets that Elijah was to be taken up to heaven that very day. That day was when it would happen. And as usual, Elisha was with Elijah. And knowing what he knew, Elisha was going to be with his master when this happened. He was determined that when God acted in this glorious way, he would witness it and nothing would put him off. So we read verse 2 at Gilgal, Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha says, "As surely as the Lord lives and as surely as you live, I will not leave you." And so they went down to Bethel. Verse 4, at Bethel, Elijah says, "Stay here, Elisha, I'm going on to Jordan, I'm going on to Jericho, Again, Elisha says, as surely as the Lord lives in Jerusalem, I am not going to leave you. So they go down to Jericho. And then again, as surely as the Lord lives, Elijah says to him, you have to stay here. And Elisha again says, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I'm going to be with you. Jericho, again, Elijah said it, and Elisha said exactly the same. He was going to be there. For nothing was Elisha to be separated from his master till God separated them. And he knew that before Elijah departed, it's something more to learn, something more to receive, to witness, something more to experience. Even if it meant walking 46 miles in a day and for no apparent reason, Elisha would not leave Elijah. He wanted God's blessing. I wonder what would have been the reaction or response if it had been announced in the Peebleshire that at the evening service in People's Evangelical Church, God is going to take James McClellan up to heaven in a chariot of fire. Hey. Reactions? Oh, hope they've got the roof insured. Oh, health and safety might close it down. Or, oh, I'm sorry I'll miss that. We always eat at 6:30. I'll get a card and send it to Ruth tomorrow. Hey. Been invited by the family to the Escape for a film, I better go. I've previously kind of mooted with reference to the method God used to make people listen to Elijah. What kind of disaster or what kind of happening would have to be promised before people of Peebles listened to God's word of warning of what he was going to do? But even for us in church, what blessing, what mighty act would God have to promise to do before we would be really impressed or pay attention or make sure that we were not going to miss out? Like Elisha. We'd say, oh Lord, give me that. Cause us to be like Jacob wrestling with God at Peniel or Peniel. I will not let hold of you until you bless me. I understand that last Sunday Ken was reminding all of the prospect of the Lord's coming and the glory of heaven. And God's word constantly speaks of our eternal destiny. That this world isn't our home, we're just passing through. How will God convince us that these things are what he's planned for us? That this has cost him a great deal, the sacrifice of his own son. And that in the end, this is the very best deal we could ever get. This is what life is about. What God does. What his plan is. And the point about Elisha was that he knew his master. He'd followed him. He'd stuck by him. He'd learned from him. He knew that when he said, you don't need to go to Bethel, have the day off, put your feet up. Elisha knew it was a test, and so he made sure that it was there when it mattered. Isaiah was there in the temple when it mattered. Yeah, just doing his job faithfully as a priest. And there God met him and called him. And Simeon was in the temple when it mattered, worshipping faithfully, and at his prayers as he'd done for more years than he cared to remember. And he saw and he held the infant Christ and he recognized the Lord Jesus. And he was able to give the all-important word of prophecy as the Holy Spirit came on him. So he said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. Will we be there when it matters? Yes, simply attending the services as God's means of grace, faithfully going on serving, doing our duty, seeking to please our Master. Or could it be that when God chooses to ask and to bless and to call and to send his Spirit, passes by, we're not there? 50 others had decided that they wanted to sneak a peek and be in on this event. But Elijah only wanted Elisha to be with him on this occasion. And so he took his cloak, with his cloak and with faith in God, he crossed the Jordan. Whoosh! Rivers parted. And they certainly, the 50, knew that God hadn't abandoned this old boy. He was still with him. But now alone with his master. This was the opportunity that Elisha had waited for, hungered for, longed for. The personal direction, guidance and power from God through the servant Elijah. And Elijah says to him, Tell me what I can do for you, for I'm to be taken from you. What is it that you want, Elisha? And what a reply. Make me leader of the prophets, principal of the colleges, prophet to the kings? No. A double portion of your spirit. Was he greedy? Yeah. He was greedy for the honor of God in Israel. He was greedy for God's will to be done, for his work to be advanced among the nations. And since he knew what this ministry had cost Elijah, Elisha knew that he was asking, what he was asking was the way of the cross and sacrifice, but he was ambitious for God's glory. And in response, Elijah, he knew that only God could grant what Elisha was asking. He knew how hard it would be for Elisha, the lonely path he was choosing. And so he said, verse 10, you've asked a difficult thing. Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be yours. Otherwise not. What would we say this morning if an Elijah were to say to us, ask, what will I do for you? What do you want God to do for you? What do we want to achieve with our lives? What do we want for our family, our friends, our church, for peoples, for Scotland? What do we want for the ongoing work of People's Evangelical Church? But you know, that's what God's constantly asking us. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, you will ask whatever you will and it will be given you. Greater things than these will you do, said Jesus. Greater things than he did. When we ask, and the sad truth is that often we've got little to say. We tend to be taken up with present crisis, personal needs, requests for the status quo to be maintained, preserved. And we may yearn for the old times, but may have little expectation for the future, far less than to ask for a double portion of God's Spirit. And perhaps because our hearts, in our hearts of hearts, we're scared what it would cost us, or we doubt maybe God's promises. Yet we also know that these are the things that really matter. Not long after Elijah has said, if you see me when I'm taken from you, we read that as they were walking along together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha was the only living person to witness this. So in order to be sure that this really happened, for others to be sure, a search party of 50 tried for 3 days to find out Elijah still on this earth. But he wasn't to be found. Got the testimony of Scripture. And when we're prepared to accept this testimony, what a great comfort. A man who was a sinner, who had doubted God and who had all his faults. That man didn't die. He was honored by God. He was raised majestically from this earth to enter God's glorious presence. What a wondrous hope for all who will but trust God's word. And the next time we meet Elijah in the Bible is on the Mountain of Transfiguration. And there are 3 more witnesses. There's Peter and James and John, and they see Moses and Elijah. and Jesus transfigured, metamorphosized, glorified. And they're talking together. What are they talking about? Of what Jesus was yet to accomplish at Jerusalem. What he was to accomplish on the cross, transforming evil and transforming our condemnation into glory and the hope of heaven. The glorious gospel of hope. And that's ours as we believe this witness. And the story doesn't end there. In a way, this is just the beginning of a new chapter. Since Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah, verse 13, and have torn his own outer garments, he stood on the bank of the Jordan. And we read verse 14, then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and he struck the water with it. Where now is the God of Elijah? And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And the company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Where now is the God of Elijah? Elijah was in heaven. His journey was over. His work was done. But God was still at work. He was still present with his people, present in Elisha. And a new great ministry, witness and testimony was about to begin as Elisha continued to trust in God's word. Aren't we tempted to think that the good times are all past? All the great days for Scotland are over. The Reformation, the Covenanters, the Marrowmen, and from the borders, or whatever it is from the past that may happen to inspire us. We look out at our nation. Our assembly is doing in Holyrood. Look at our national kirk and the mess it's in. A woeful state. In this area, church I belong to, our presbytery. Churches in Peebles. What regard is there really for God's word and what he might do? What hope is there? Where's the God of Elijah? Isn't he the same God that we're here to worship? Is this a different world? Has sinful human nature changed? Has the gospel lost its power? Its power to save, or is it no longer needed? Of course, no. The real questions are we ready to respond to God's call, willing to serve him faithfully, humbly? Is there an Elisha in the Jelly Tots or Smarties or Smileys or 1-2 or 712 Club? One for whom we will pray and help to train in godly ways. Yeah, who God might be wanting to lead to Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho before filling him or her with their spirit. Are we ready to accept God's word to us? So we continue to make an impact for him in this town and district. Are we ambitious for God's work and anxious about those who don't have the hope of heaven, that are lost? We have to believe his word. Will we take up the mantle which falls to us? Be ready to ask, where is the God of Elijah? Well, he's here and he'll bless us.